ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In other words, Naomi was trying to cover up her disobedience. If she returned to Bethlehem alone, nobody would know that the family had broken the law of Moses. He who covers his sin, though, will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. When we try to cover our sins, it's proof that we really haven't faced them honestly and judged them according to God's word. True repentance involves honest confession and brokenness within. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Instead of brokenness, Naomi had bitterness. And the tragedy is that Naomi didn't present the God of Israel in a positive way. Had Naomi been walking with the Lord, she could have won Orpah to the faith and brought two trophies of grace home to Bethlehem. For Naomi, yes, she was returning to Bethlehem, no doubt about it. But there is much she's going to need to learn to grow in her relationship with God, to trust in her Lord. And we'll see that over the next several weeks as we go through Ruth. Naomi's going to come back to the Lord. But again, the testimony she gave was bad. Well, let's look at the second testimony now, starting in verse 11 here in Naomi chapter 1. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." So here is the testimony of Orpah. And in regard to the good, the bad, and the ugly, this testimony of Orpah is ugly. What do I mean by that? Well, again, Naomi tried to discourage both Orpah and Ruth from coming with her to Bethlehem three times in verse 8 and verses 11 through 12 of Ruth 1. And she even prayed for them that God would deal kindly with them, bless them, and that they would find a husband, not in Bethlehem, but back in Moab. And both started to head with Naomi to Bethlehem. They both began this journey. And we see Orpah kiss her mother-in-law and then departed from her. She went back to Moab. Now, interestingly enough, the name Orpah means youthful or immature. And we see a lot of emotion with Orpah towards Naomi, but no devotion. And she departs. She goes on her own way. And if you think about it, logically, from a human perspective, it makes sense. Why go to a land she's never knew before, to people she didn't know? She didn't know anyone in Bethlehem, and to a God who seems to be vindictive, according to the witness of Naomi. I think for Orpah, the God of Israel was never real to her, and thus her testimony reflected that. But as Christians, can our testimony of our God be ugly? It can. We could be immature in our Christian walk, and when we don't get what we want, we get angry, we're ready to move on, we're ready to leave, to go back to the world and see what it has to offer. And I'll tell you this, the world has nothing for you. It never did, and it never will. The world's passing away, and our life in Christ is everlasting. Huge difference. You know, is the Christian life easy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God allows us to go through some very, very difficult times to help us to grow, to help us to mature in the faith. And sometimes we place ourselves in very difficult situations because we're not obeying the Lord. But look at the early church. Look at all that they went through. And we see so many letters encouraging them to continue on in the faith, even though the persecution is heavy. Our day is no different. We go through difficult times as well. Hardship, suffering. And many times we want to run in the opposite direction because of it. We don't want to continue to go forward. We want to retreat. And is there uncertainty in the Christian life? Well, there's uncertainty in the sense that we don't always know what's going to happen, right? I mean, sometimes we wake up and something happens that comes out of left field to us. Not to God, but to us. And how are we going to deal with that? We don't know all the things that are going to happen in our life. We don't know how things are going to work out. And that's not the issue, guys. The issue is, can we trust God through these difficult times? That truly is the issue. We need to be able to trust in Him and rest in His promises. And if you can't, then there's no way you're going to be able to walk by faith. All your movement will be in response to what you see, and seeing can be very deceptive. We need to be able to look at things through the eyes of faith. You know, we always, you know, saw in the movies the mirages in the desert, you know, those things that aren't really there, we see them. And, you know, for me, I was driving and I think I may have told you this, I was driving and I was looking at this thing. I thought it was a person, and it looked like they had this big kind of goofy hat on their head. And I'm driving, and as I get closer, it was a mailbox. Oh, my eyes deceived me into seeing something that wasn't really there. It wasn't a person, it was a mailbox. How easy that is for us. Orpah didn't walk by faith, she walked by sight. We're going to see Ruth walk by faith. Orpah is pulled back to Moab, back to the world, because the world was too strong for her, and she went to that which she knew rather than what she didn't know because she wasn't willing to walk by faith. I wonder what would have happened to her if she went with Naomi back to Bethlehem to the house of bread. Now, she returns to Moab. That's the last time we hear of her. She disappears from history, never to be mentioned again. And did she appear to have faith? Well, it seemed like it. She wanted to go with Naomi, but in the end, she didn't. And how many people have heard of Christ, heard of His love for them, and then in the end, just turn and walk away? I mean, my prayer is that if anyone here who hasn't repented of their sins and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of their lives, that they would turn to him, not pass it up like Orpah did. Because God has a wonderful plan for our life, but we have to come to Him first. And if we've come to Christ and yet we're being drawn back into the world, back to Moab or to this washpot, we need to repent and return to the giver and sustainer of life, to the house of bread. The testimony of Orpah was not good. It was ugly because she just walked away. But we're not done. And it's interesting, we're going to look at the testimony of Ruth next. And Ruth is a Gentile. Remember where she's coming from? Moab, a washpot. We used the phrase last week, toilet bowl. The world. But look at her testimony. It's very, very powerful. Look at verse 14 here in Ruth chapter 1. We're told this. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death departs you and me." And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now, look at the differences to how Orpah responded to what Naomi said and how Ruth responded in verse 14. And there are huge differences. Orpah gives Naomi a kiss of emotion, but not devotion. Was Orpah going to miss Naomi? Absolutely. I think they had gotten close, that they loved each other. There's no doubt in my mind. The problem was, this kiss wasn't really sincere. It was all emotion, and it didn't result in the proper action on her part. Orpah returned to her own people in Moab, to her own gods, and she didn't go with Naomi. But here's Ruth. And it's interesting. Ruth didn't kiss Naomi. What did Ruth do? Ruth clung to her. "I'm not letting you go, man. I know you're leaving, but I'm holding on to you, and I'm going to go where you go." That's devotion. And I don't believe it's just devotion to Naomi. It's a devotion to the God that Naomi served. Ruth wanted the Lord, and she is going to go with Naomi to the house of Rut. Now, you may be saying, well, aren't you reading a little too much into that? Well, I don't think so. First of all, I'm not saying that Orpah's response was evil. It just wasn't what was best, and she's leaving with nothing. For Ruth, I think her response, when you read what she says, her devotion is to God, and she's going to go with Naomi to the house of bread. I think that response is awesome. Again, listen to what we're told. Ruth said to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I'm going to go. And wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge there. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Wow. Interesting words when you think about Naomi tried to discourage her three times. Don't go with us. God's hand is heavy upon me. You don't want to be with me. It's going to be bad. Right? And she told Ruth that her sister-in-law is heading back to Moab. Just go back with her. Why are you going to come follow me? Yeah, was it easier for her to return to Moab than to go to the house of bread to Bethlehem? Absolutely. But Ruth was determined to go. She was not going to let anything stop her. And what a strong, strong devotion that she had to not only Naomi, but I also believe to the Lord. She's going to follow Naomi wherever she went. She wanted to be a member of the family of God. And thus, she was willing to become like Naomi, a Jew. You see, this was more than a change of address for Ruth. Ruth was willing to forsake the Moabite gods she grew up with and embrace the God of Israel. She was willing to leave family and friends behind and follow Naomi and the God she served. She was deciding to follow the Lord. And thus, Ruth's testimony was good. I guess it was great. It was an awesome testimony. And here's this Gentile woman, right? Once far from God, now drawing near to God. How did she find out about the Lord? I think it was through the witness of Naomi, maybe Naomi's sons, Ruth's husband. Maybe it was from Naomi's husband as well when he was alive, if he was around when they got together. And yeah, was their witness not that great? No, it wasn't great, but still, there was the witness of the Lord to her. And it made an impact upon Ruth's life. And think about our own lives. And sometimes we just don't live up to what we think we should be doing. And we wonder what people are seeing in us. And God is very gracious and he's merciful. And like he was working in Naomi's life, he's also working in our life. And he was working in the life of Ruth through Naomi. In our weaknesses, I believe God still works through us. He's working in us and he's working through us. And it may not be, like I said, like we want. But here's the thing. When people look at our life, how we live, what we say, the things we do, do they say, as Ruth said, "I want your God to be my God"? And that's a pretty powerful statement by Ruth. You see, our trust in God and turning towards him in tough times, many times it draws people to the Lord through it. You know, Spurgeon said, "You will never win any soul to the right by a compromise with the wrong. It is a decision for Christ and his truth that has the greatest power in the family and the greatest power in the world, too." Absolutely. You know, these are not just empty words by Ruth. They're very powerful words. You know, "Where you go, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and also more, if anything but death parts you and me." That's pretty sincere. Are we sincere about our faith and what God desires of us so that no matter what, we're going to follow after him all the days of our life? We need to. You know, adventurer Robert Young Pelton was confronted with the price of commitment when he was in Afghanistan. He said, "When I was being shelled on a front line north of Kabul, I asked a 23-year-old Taliban fighter, 'Why don't we dig trenches to escape the bombardment?' He looked at me and asked, 'If you didn't come here to die, why are you here?'" Wow. Wow. So what about our life? Are we willing to give our life completely to the Lord no matter what? When people look at our lives, when they read our life, are they seeing Jesus? Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Are we willing to sacrifice our life totally to God? I'll share these words about a testimony that was left by men who followed the Lord. This is from Wes Bentley and far-reaching ministries, ministry we support here. And we're told this. Wes wrote this. I was in Russia with our team celebrating the Eastern Orthodox Christmas on the 7th of January. We were celebrating with one of the churches when I received a call from Michael, our senior chaplain. He called to inform me of the deaths of two of our men, Gabriel Manyan and John Deng. Gabriel had graduated in 2015 from the chaplaincy training program, and John was being field trained by Gabriel and would have been part of class 11. Michael shared the news that had come in from the front where one of the forward military units had been overrun by the enemy. From what we understand, there were wounded and dying men everywhere. Gabriel and John ran up trying to save other men's lives when they were ambushed and killed, or so we thought. However, when the military was able to retake the overrun position, they found that John was still alive, though he was critically wounded. He was transported to a hospital for treatment, but the medical care at the front line is ill-equipped to care for critically wounded patients and far from where you would find in the Western world. I know from my experience that John's chances of survival were not good, but we prayed and hoped God would intervene. As a war zone, South Sudan is a very dangerous and hard place. Around the 21st of January, word came informing us that John had succumbed to his wounds and went home to be with the Lord. This was a difficult way to start the new year, but this was only the beginning. On the 23rd of January, Michael called to inform me that Chaplain Peter Longer had been captured by the enemy and he was burned alive. He was on his way home to see his wife and two daughters when he fell into the hands of the enemy. What happened next, we can only speculate. When his remains were found, he had been bound and had firewood around his body. He was doused with fuel and lit ablaze. And Peter had graduated on June of 2015. He had been in the field for a little over a year before he was killed. In the last 16 years, we have lost a total of 32 staff who have given their lives in the service of Christ. It's a hard fact to realize that we are no closer to this war ending. Sadly, this is going on. Yet despite all the hardship, we are seeing many souls won for Christ. The day I found out about Peter's death, I had just gone home. The loss of too many men in too short of time was overwhelming. I needed to be alone with the Lord and with my thoughts. Peter's death was very difficult to handle because of the brutality of the nature in which he was killed. I shared this news with a few friends, and Ken Graves sent me a message, and I felt it was appropriate. He said that, may you and I also go out in the same blaze of glory. It made me realize for a moment, he will wear the robes of a martyr and a crown of glory for eternity. This is the testimony of Peter Longer. I came to the chaplain's program because Chaplain Pierre Eck, preached the gospel to God to me and discipled me. He taught me Matthew 11:28, and he just demonstrated daily how to love Jesus with all my strength. I wanted the same commitment in my heart. I joined the church and followed the examples I was given. As I came to learn the word of God and began to go and proclaim to other soldiers, I realized God had a plan for my life. When I arrived at the chaplain base, I was still shallow and selfish. I was not a good person. I told everyone that I was only going to stay for 2 weeks. God had one of the teachers share from Matthew 11:28, and my heart broke before God. Suddenly, God's peace was upon me, and my heart became transformed. Christ changed me. I thank God for increasing his word in my heart through the chaplaincy program. I am so glad he kept me in the program. I have two brothers and sisters. My parents are still alive. My mother and father are born again, and so are my two sisters and one of my brothers. My wife's name is Bodhi. God blessed us with two daughters, and I think God will give us another child. I ask for my ministry and for my family, especially for my brother, who is an unbeliever in Christ, to pray for them. Peter's favorite scripture, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These men sacrificed their lives for the Lord. They counted the cost, and their lives are examples to others of what true sacrifice is all about. And it reminds me of Paul, who was encouraging Timothy to continue on in the faith, to finish the race strong. He's in the Mamertine prison, Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. He knew his life was coming to an end. He was going to be put to death for his faith by Nero. And he wanted to encourage Timothy, using his life as an example for him to continue on and to continue strong. And what I want you to notice about Chaplain Peter Longer was that he was not only discipled and followed the examples that were given to him by other Christian men, but now his life is a witness to others, even though it was short on this earth. And I realize as you look at your life, you may not want to be an example like that. But make no mistake about it. Being a Christian, you are not only witnessing to the unsaved, but you are an example to the saved. And we have to be willing to follow the Lord, to lay down our lives, to be used by him for his glory. Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow or desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We are to follow Christ and be that example to others. Again, Naomi's witness may not have been great. In fact, in those 10 years down in Moab, we don't see Naomi make Ruth even speak forth her faith, her allegiance to the God of Israel. But when Naomi said that she was leaving Moab, she was going to Bethlehem to the house of bread, Ruth's testimony was strong. She confessed her faith in the God of Israel, and nothing was going to stop her from following Naomi. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, Naomi was trying to cover up. Orpah had given up, but Ruth was prepared to stand up. She refused to listen to her mother-in-law's pleas or follow her sister-in-law's bad example. Why? Because she had come to trust in the God of Israel. She had experienced trials and disappointments, but instead of blaming God, she had trusted him and was not ashamed to confess her faith. In spite of the bad example of her disobedient in-laws, Ruth had come to know the true and living God, and she wanted to be a part with his people and to dwell in his land. Ruth's conversation is evidence of the sovereign grace of God. For the only way sinners can be saved is by grace. Everything within her and around her presented obstacles to her faith, and yet she trusted the God of Israel. Look at the obstacles we face. Look at the difficulties in our lives. Are we going to let them stop us from following God? To be examples to others? Are others going to allow those obstacles to prevent them from coming to Christ? We need to be careful. Ruth was a wonderful, wonderful example of a woman who had devoted her life not only now to Naomi, but more importantly to the true and living God. And my prayer as we go through this study here in Ruth is that we would learn to love the Lord more and more, that we follow him no matter where he is leading us, that we would follow him all the days of our life, and that we would leave a powerful testimony of our faith to all we come in contact with. And that was Ruth. And we're going to see the faith of Ruth grow in the Lord, and we're going to see Naomi come back to the Lord. And that's what God does. He doesn't give up on us. And I think that is so important. God never gives up. We give up. Like Naomi, God's against me. He's never against you. He's always for you. Yeah, sometimes we blow it. We're in sin, and he will deal with us as a loving father. But he never gives up on us. And for Ruth, I'm not going back to the false gods that I used to worship. I'm not going back to the world. I'm going to the house of bread to follow the true and living God. And may we always do that. Keep our eyes on Jesus and be a powerful testimony to those around us of what God has done. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these words this morning. hopefully words of encouragement to each of us, those here, those listening on the radio, the internet. Lord, that we would truly understand that you are with us always. And you're always leading us, you're always guiding us, and our testimony needs to be strong, even in spite of the difficult situations that we face. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you. How you patiently work in our lives. You're so gracious and merciful. Help us to shine brightly for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.